It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. We got a lot of Formula One news to talk about. Formula One in Las Vegas last weekend, and we have some recaps of that. We also have Formula One this weekend in Qatar, and then also some news about General Motors and Andretti Motorsports in Formula One. Got an interesting article about how Teslas are crashing at a much higher level. We've got an interesting article about flood cars and cars that have been in flood and hurricane damages and how those might actually be making their way to all parts of the United States. Of course, we've got gas prices, and of course, it wouldn't be a car show without a little car talk. You know what to do? Fasten that seatbelt nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, from the pages of USA Today, beware of flood-damaged vehicles being sold across the U.S. and how to protect yourself. Well, if you're in the market for a used car, you might be on the lookout for flood-damaged or water-damaged vehicles that may have been cleaned up and put on sale to unsuspecting buyers. As many as 347,000 vehicles have been flood-damaged this year because of the hurricane season, according to estimates by Carfax. Hurricane Milton added as many as 120,000 vehicles in Florida, on top of 138 vehicles damaged by Hurricane Helene across several states, and up to almost 90,000 vehicles hit with water damage from smaller storms throughout the summer. Those images of cars that are floating on the streets and sitting in high waters, those are typical of the cars you see sold for very cheap by potential scammers, and that's according to the public relations director of Carfax. They would clean them up and sell them either nearby or maybe states many, many miles away. The problem is, even a little bit of water can be a ticking time bomb. It can lead to electrical issues, and fixing can be very costly. If you get water in the engine or the oil system, it can totally wreck the engine. It may look for showroom fresh, but it could literally be rotting from the inside and out. Well, water damage is bad for cars. Well, water doesn't mix with anything in a car, according to Consumer Reports. Any type of extensive water exposure, including cars submerged in floodwaters, cars driving through a flash flooded intersection during a rainstorm, or even a convertible left out in a severe storm could cause damage. Additionally, mold, mildew can build up in a flood damaged vehicle and cause respiratory concerns for a consumer down the line. You know, it really doesn't matter whether it's rainwater, freshwater, ocean water, and salt water by far is the worst, but all water is bad news. Now, if your car has been flooded, well, you should not try to operate it or even turn it on. You need to get it towed to someplace and have it checked out. Now, some minor flood damage can be fixed, but most severely flooded cars will be considered totaled by the insurance company and would advise not to buy a car with water damage. Now, what happens to the vehicles after these floods? Well, some vehicles, after the insurer has determined that it cannot be fixed, it will be sent to an auction because the parts still have some value, can be salvaged or sold. Some vehicles will go to a junkyard. Some people will take the tires and the wheels off of or certain other parts of the vehicle. And some vehicles can be sent to other countries. But flood-damaged cars can get purchased by shops or people who will, quote-unquote, dry them out, replace the seats and carpet, and do whatever they can, in theory, to get the car working again and sell it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if it's been fixed properly, and in a lot of states, it's actually legal. It comes down to the quality of the work that's being done. And sometimes, well, corners get cut. And some shady sellers will try to sell a car without acknowledging that it has water damage. In general, I would recommend not buying a car that's been flooded unless you know the history. Like it was your neighbor's car and their sunroof was open for 15 minutes when it rained. But even then, there are so many potential gremlins down the road. Now, how do you check to see if a car has water damage? Well, we want to make sure that potential buyers know that there are thousands and thousands of cars that could be put up for sale that have lots of problems, according to the folks at Carfax. Now, car buyers can go to carfax.com/flood and put a car's vehicle number in or VIN number for a free report to see if water damage has been reported. Although there are no guarantees that the damage would be reported, especially if the car is sold through a private party, but the report could be helpful. It usually is labeled specifically if there is flood or water damage on the report. Although flood damage is more severe, water damage can be a concern too, because it doesn't necessarily mean the car will be labeled as a flood-branded title. Now, what's most important is to get a third-party inspection and have a trusted mechanic look at this vehicle. That is one of the most important things you can do. For signs that the vehicle has been cleaned up or repaired, such as the carpet or the upholstery, that may be damp or has mismatched colors, look for rust on the gas or the brake pedals. Check underneath the dash for brittle wires, or look for mud or silt in unusual places. And also check out the headlights and taillights to make sure that there's no water beading up inside. Also pull the seatbelt all the way out. A car that's been submerged could have a water line on top of the seatbelt. Also suggestions to look inside the pockets on the back seats or the door pockets for any sign of sand or grit. Now, in rare cases, electric vehicles that receive water damage can be at risk of catching fire. Well, consumers living far away from the states that could be experienced floods could also still find flood-damaged vehicles for sale in their area as well. Not only do individual drivers in those areas cars get flooded, but car dealerships get their lots flooded as well, and they could have damaged vehicles too. It's a cascading effect, and that's why flooded cars end up in lots of different areas. Some of them get shipped across country, so no one's going to think there's been a flooded car in my neighborhood, but they still are. It also takes several months after a hurricane or a flood damaged for flood damaged vehicles to show up in other parts of the country. Suggesting go checking Carfax or another company that supplies histories, Consumer Reports also suggesting that the National Motor Vehicle Title Information System will be of value. It will direct you to government-approved providers for vehicle history reports. The system is trying to crack down on title washing, in which has been where vehicles that have been totaled or stolen get new clean titles within lax regulations. Title rules do vary from state to state, but once a car has been totaled, it's supposed to get a new salvage title. And those titles are plainly marked and are branded the word salvage or flood, according to Consumer Reports. Some states, the warnings will be obscure, like a letter or a code. And a salvage title can't be registered until repairs are made and the vehicle is reinspected to give it a rebuilt title. Now, some flood-damaged vehicles will appear with a clean title because some states are lax and some sellers will bounce a car from state to state to try to clean the title. The bottom line is, it's best not to be buying a car with a salvage title. There's just too many unknowns, and I would totally agree with that. Yeah, and it's amazing to think here in Arizona that somebody might be getting a car that was flood-damaged, but they could be shipped across the country, and if it looks too good to be true, well, most likely, it probably is. Site Jalopnik, the title of this article, says Tesla are the most fatal cars on the road, according to a study. Well, Tesla cars are the deadliest cars on the road today, according to a new study from IC Cars. Tesla vehicles have the highest rate of fatality among all vehicle brands in the United States. The organization analyzed data from the U.S. Fatality and Analyst Reporting System. Now, the study conducted from 2018 till 2022 model years looked at crashes between 2017 and 2022 that resulted in at least one of the occupants dying. It found that Teslas have a fatal crash rate of 5.6 per billion miles driven. Kia came in at second at 5.5, followed by Buick at 4.8, Dodge at 4.4, and Hyundai at 3.9. For reference, IC Cars said the overall average rate was 2.8, meaning Tesla's cars are twice as likely to die on average. Now, the study looked at just more than the automakers. It broke vehicles down by model, and it wasn't pretty for Tesla in those situations as well. The Model Y had a 10.6 fatal crash rate, nearly five times the average for SUVs, and it was the sixth highest score overall. Now, cars like the Hyundai View, the Chevy Corvette, Mitsubishi Mirage, Porsche 911, and the Honda CR-V were all above it. The Model S came in at a 5.8, nearly twice the average. Now, let's be fair to Tesla. These numbers don't automatically mean that the cars are unsafe for its occupants. In fact, they're not. It has a lot to do with how people drive these cars, according to Carl Brauner, the executive analyst for IC Cars. Well, most of these vehicles receive excellent safety ratings, performing well in crash tests with the IIHS and the National Highway Transportation and Safety Administration. So it's not a vehicle design issue. The models that reflect the combination of drivers' behavior, drivers' conditions, leading to crashes and fatalities. Now, a vehicle's size and weight and height can certainly be a part of the ability to protect passengers in a crash. But the biggest contributor to occupant safety is avoiding a crash, and the biggest factor is crash avoidance is driver behavior. A focused, alert driver traveling at legal or prudent speed without being under influence of drugs or alcohol is most likely to arrive safely at their destination, no matter what kind of vehicles they're driving. That tells us that the Tesla cars are probably as safe as anyone else, but their owners are tending to drive poorly, and as a result, are literally killing people. And I'm sorry to say, there was an article just the other day about three young college students home on Thanksgiving vacation driving the family Tesla truck, and sounds like speed was a problem. They hit a tree, and all three of those young people passed away. So people, for some reason, think and underestimate the power and speed that the Tesla cars have. They're heavier than an average car. They're much faster than an average car, and I think people are driving over their heads. So Tesla owners, be safe. Formula One news, and the drivers hope that Formula One takes Vegas Grand Prix out of a back-to-back weekend. Well, George Russell and Carlos Sainz said the Las Vegas Grand Prix should be followed by an off weekend for Formula One, and it gives challenges posed by the race itself. The race in Las Vegas takes place at 10 p.m. local time, running until almost midnight on a timetable that represents a roughly 12-hour swing in comparison to European time zone that they're arriving from. Obviously, it's not great timing for all of us that are here, Russell said. There's 20 drivers and let's say 4,000 people who work on the races collectively. And of course, there's tens of millions of people who watch it at home. I would say having the race back-to-back with Qatar is the biggest challenge. If we had a weekend off in between, that would be much better. Well, according to Lewis Hamilton, he acknowledges the challenges that team members face with the schedule, but he was full of praise for the actual event that Vegas delivered. Well, back-to-back is not the easiest, Hamilton said. It's massively challenging for everyone, particularly for the people that work in the garages that are on their feet to take the cars apart and put them back and ship them. Actually, the race itself was fantastic, and I can't wait to come back here next year. Well, next year's Grand Prix is already confirmed to take place on November 22nd and is the first race of a triple header of weekends of back-to-back racing, Qatar and then to Abu Dhabi. So the drivers agree, yeah, it's tough to do these races back-to-back, but once again, Vegas was a big success. As of Racer Magazine, Formula One confirms agreement in principle for General Motors and Cadillac to enter Formula One in 2026. Well, Formula One has reached an agreement in principle that will bring General Motors onto the grid under the Cadillac brand as the 11th team in Formula One in 2026. The project was given approval by the FIA last year, but in January, the commercial assessment of Formula One resulted in Andretti Cadillac team being rejected for 2026. At the time, Formula One said it would be open to a 2028 entry if General Motors committed to producing its own power unit, and the discussions have continued since. Well, over the course of this year, they have achieved operational milestones that made it clear that their commitment to brand the 11th team GM Cadillac. GM will enter as an engine supplier at a later time, in a statement from Formula One. Formula One is therefore pleased to move forward with this application process and will provide further updates in due course. With Formula One's continued growth plans in the U.S., we've always believed that welcoming an impressive U.S. brand like GM and Cadillac onto the grid and General Motors as a future power unit supplier could bring additional value and interest to the sport. And that is from the CEO of Liberty Media, Greg Maffey. We credit the leadership of General Motors and their partners with significant progress to enter Formula One in 2026. Now, according to the president of General Motors, as a pinnacle of motorsports, Formula One, boundary-pushing innovation excellence, and it's an honor for General Motors and Cadillac to join the world's premier racing series. We're committed to competing with passion and integrity to elevate the sport for race fans around the world. This is a global stage for us to demonstrate General Motors' engineering expertise and technology leadership at all levels. And according to Formula One, General Motors and Cadillac, commitment to this project is important, and we look for demonstration and the evolution of our sport. And we welcome General Motors as a huge global brand and a powerhouse OEM working with its impressive partners. So at this point in time right now, Mario Andretti will serve as the director on the team's board. And to quote Mario, my first love was Formula One, and now 70 years later, Formula One paddock is still my happy place, according to the 1978 Formula One world champion. We're thrilled to have, with Cadillac Formula One, Mark Walter, Dan Toast, to be still involved at this stage in my life, I have to pinch myself and make sure that I'm not dreaming. So it looks like this is happening, folks. General Motors and Cadillac coming to Formula One as a manufacturer and hopefully as an engine provider and being on the grid in 2026. And Formula One is in Qatar in the Middle East. And this is one of the races where they actually have two races. They have a sprint race that will be on Saturday, and then the regular full Formula race will be on Sunday. So I'll have those results for the sprint and the Qatar Grand Prix for you next weekend. The People magazine, the headline reads, "Teen dies from cancer months after Ford CEO gifted him the experience of a lifetime on the racetrack, his dad has revealed." Well, a teenager who got the experience of a lifetime with his dad, thanks to the CEO of Ford Motors, has died from cancer. On November 22nd, Joe Tedegren revealed on X that his son Joseph was no longer suffering after taking his final breath. In a post on the platform, Joe reflected on the privilege of being his father and thanked for all those who offered support over the years. Well, among those who made a difference in Joseph's life, his father wrote, was Ford CEO Jim Farley, who gave the teen the experience of a lifetime when he invited him to experience the Ford Mustang Dark Horse on the track at the Ford Performance Racing School in Charlotte back in March. The pair, who traveled from Utah, took him up on the offer in April. The initial invitation came over X. A month later, Joe and Joseph were together in North Carolina for a father and son experience that left dad speechless, as he wrote in the social media. According to Fox News, Joseph was diagnosed with bone cancer on May of 2019, had been suffering from knee pain ever since his age of 13. The cancer was also found in his lungs and his hip in 2022, and back again in his lungs in 2024. Well, speaking with an outlet earlier this year, Joe revealed the Ford moment was probably the last time we'll be able to do something like this. He, Joseph, was like, "Dad, I don't care if you have to roll me in on a gurney. I am going to this driving school," Joseph recalled at the time. He had the most energy I had seen in months, and he had a super big smile, and he was so excited. Well, the father and son day came complete with custom helmets from Ford, according to the CEO, and they were simply happy that they could provide this experience for Joe and Joseph. Normally, you'd have conversations about this when you're an engineer and you do back-to-back on 2 and 3 day courses, Joe said, after the Ford trip. But when you realize that you're in the now, embracing it together because of the recognition of the finality of it all, you know, it's most likely going to be the last time you're going to be able to enjoy a moment like this. Well, the Ford trip was followed by Joe's decision to share a viral post that he bought his son a Ford Mustang of his own, since he probably wouldn't be able to work long enough to buy one himself. As the boy's mother, Carrie, told Fox News, the family had been focused on making memories and doing bucket item lists with him. This week, Joe shared on Instagram that he learned so much from his son, and he hoped that he could be half the man he was. A celebration of life has been set for the teen in Springville, Utah on December 6th. I didn't realize when I became a father that I had the potential, it had the potential of being the greatest source of joy and the greatest source of pain in my life. Gratefully, the joy outweighs the pain, his father wrote on X on Saturday the 23rd. Each of my kids has enriched my life in so many ways. I've loved introducing them to my hobbies and interests and having them along for the ride. Although Joseph is physically no longer with us, I know he will continue to be a large presence in our life. And And I'm looking at the pictures right now, and Joseph has got the biggest smile on his face. He's out camping with his dad. And then the next picture is dad and son standing with holding their race helmets in front of all these pictures of these classic Ford race cars and Mustangs. And he is beaming from ear to ear, and so is his father. So what a blessing to be able to give this young man a dream-like experience before he passed. And as a father myself and a grandfather, I can only imagine how his dad feels and how proud he is of his son and grieving his loss at the same time. It's getting nice outside again, and all the classic cars are coming out of the woodwork. Last weekend with the Good Guy Show, I saw so many cool hot rods driving around town. And before you know it, it'll be 2025, and we'll have Barrett Jackson coming up. We'll have the Mecum Classic Car Auction, and of course, we'll have the next Good Guys event. But there's also local cars here every week, and wanted to kind of bring you an idea of some of those. Some of the bigger ones, Speedway Motors, which is out on 8701 West McDowell Road, that's out in Tolleson. They have an event on December 7th, Speedway Motors Cars and Coffee. Highline Auto Cars and Coffee is on that same day, and that is going to be on High Street up in North Scottsdale. Gilbert Cars and Coffee, and that's on Gilbert Road, and also Cars and Coffee Morning Meet there. So there's several of those, and you can find a lot of these shows and events on Rodden NAZ.com. That's RODDINAZ.com under their events. And then there's stuff every week. The classic one is the Rock and Roll Car Show at the Pavilions, and that is every Saturday from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's in Scottsdale, and we're on Talking Stick. That's a very exciting show and been there forever. So if you're looking for some cool car shows to go check out while the weather is beautiful, just head on over to Rodden AZ to the events section, and you can find a car show that'll be probably in your neighborhood. Well, time to talk some gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $3.05 a gallon. So gas prices are definitely on their way down. Right now, the average gas price in Arizona is $3.19 a gallon. California, $4.42. New Mexico, $2.79. Colorado, $2.91. Utah, $3. Oregon, $3.55. Washington State, $4 a gallon. Then let's start heading a little bit east. Texas, average gas price in Texas, $2.59. Oklahoma, $2.47 a gallon. And that is about the cheapest in the nation right now. All right, let's talk about what's going on with gas prices here in Arizona and see where you can find the cheapest gas. Well, right now, the cheapest gas in Arizona, Love's Travel Stop in Eloy, Arizona, $2.39 a gallon. Express Fuel in Eloy as well at $2.39. The 76 station in Casa Grande at $2.43. The Flying J in Eloy at $2.49. Sam's Club in Bullhead City at $2.49 a gallon. In Casa Grande, $2.51 at Fast Trip and $2.53 at the Quick Trip. All right, let's see what's going on with gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. All right, here's the top 10 places to find cheap gas in Phoenix. Walmart and Scottsdale, which I just got gas at yesterday, $2.57 a gallon. That is outstanding. Costco on Hayden at $2.63. Love's Travel Stop in Tolleson at $2.69. The Chevron station in on West Bell Road, 90th Ave, at $2.69. Sam's Club, well, looks like all the good gas is cheap on the west side, on North 83rd Avenue. The 76 station on Black Canyon Highway at $2.75. And the Arco station at 43rd Avenue at $2.75 as well. So the good news is there is definitely plenty of gas under $2.75 a gallon. And hopefully we'll see plenty of $2.50 gas in our near future. Talk a little bit more about some possible gifts for that motorhead in your life or that car enthusiast. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Extreme Experience, an event that I did a couple years ago. Thank you for my wife for buying this. You can have a chance to drive a supercar as low as $250. Yeah, and you can do a ride-along in a car for as little as $79. Head on over to Extreme. Let me get the actual website here really quickly. Yeah, you can go to theextremeexperience.com, and they're going to be out at Firebird Motorsports Park from December 12th through December 15th. And like I said, folks, I did this a couple years ago, and I got to drive a Lamborghini and also drive a Porsche, and it was so much fun. So if you're looking for a cool gift or just something to treat yourself with, head on over to extremeexperience.com, and it is a blast to drive or ride in these supercars. Well, folks, we've reached that time again. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, you've had several columns about a guy who doesn't drive his car very often and wants to keep his battery from dying in between starts. You recommended a trickle charger to keep the battery topped up. Now, another reader wrote and recommended a quick disconnect, which is a switch under the hood that disconnects the battery. And you said, as long as you avoid a cheap one, a quick disconnect is a viable option. My question is, when you disconnect the battery with one of these quick switches, does it make your radio station lose its presets and your engine have to relearn its programming? And that's from Mike. Well, yes, it does. And that's why our first choice is always a trickle charger, or sometimes called a battery tender. It plugs into a wall socket and it attaches via clamps to the battery terminals and automatically keeps your battery at full charge between starts without overcharging it. Now, since the battery does remain connected when using a trickle charger, you won't lose your radio or seat presets, nor your engine parameters. Now, bottom line is, none of these are a huge deal to lose. The engine quickly reestablishes its driving parameters, and of course, you can choose your presets on your radio again. It's an inconvenience, but that's about it. Now, we have a device at the garage that saves those presets when we install a new battery, so the customer doesn't whine to us about the fact that they lost their presets. It's a little piece of equipment called a computer memory keeper, and it's powered by a 9-volt battery that plugs into the car's power port, or better known as its cigarette lighter, and sends enough power through the circuits to keep the settings maintained. Now, you can probably find one of those at your local auto parts store or online, and I'd be surprised if that thing costs you more than 10 bucks. But if you leave your car idle for months or a whole season, then you'll have to worry about your little 9-volt battery dying. So personally, I think it's just easier to get a trickle charger and call it a day. Good luck, Mike. Yes, and as a firm believer in trickle chargers, in fact, I have a trickle charger right now on my 1984 SVO Mustang, keeping that battery topped off. And folks, I want to say my battery is 6 or 7 years old. That's how well these trickle chargers do in helping maintain the life and the health of your battery. And of course, don't want to mess up your presets or your seat settings. Well, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.